Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get back to full strength. Malkin to the net. Saved by Lucan. It scores! Malkin from his knees with career goal number 500. Got Crosby right in front of the net. Good block shot by Greenway there as he dropped down to get a piece of that one. Carlson far post scores. Sidney Crosby. Textbook Penguins power play goal, and they win it in overtime. 6-5.
We kind of did things that hurt us towards the end of the game there, and then obviously in overtime too, they get a power play, and I think they're going to score when you give them too many looks like that, too many power plays, and tonight's game, we beat ourselves. So.
I thought our puck management in the second period was terrible. You know they were going to press. We played too much one-on-one hockey, and then I think at the end of the night, we just weren't strong enough around our net. You look at some of the goals. You got to be stronger than that. The momentum was going back and forth every way. I think they fed off a lot of special teams. I mean, look at some of the, you know, the calls we had against us. And that team feeds off their power play, and I think that, you know, we had to try to recover.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Sabres, WGR Sports Radio 550.
Well, hi, everybody. Your challenge today is to tell me what organization in professional sports, you cannot name your own, is more annoying than the Penguins. Who's really more annoying than the Pittsburgh Penguins?
I think a lot of people would say Chiefs.
They haven't been around for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
These Penguins are... Yesterday we lovingly talked about, oh yeah, Malkin and Crosby. Wow, 20 years together. Can you believe it? Yeah, 20 years together.
And then the whole night was just the celebration of them.
Yes. The Sabres
steal their lunch money for the 5 millionth time.
It was every Sabres Penguins game that it's ever happened. The Sabres were NPCs in this game, to Malkin and Crosby being the main characters.
Do you know what it felt like to me? Last night was on national TV, and like I saw a lot of complaints. Like, man, this feels like a home broadcast, right? One, the Sabres and the Penguins have earned that sounding like a Penguins home broadcast, maybe.
Yes.
Two, you know what it reminded me of was when the Bills hosted the Patriots on Sunday Night Football in 2007. Patriots are going for history. Like, yep. We're just here.
Yep.
Right? This is the Patriots show. This is all about them. You're just kind of a sideshow to this. You're just present at the game. That's what last night, I mean, felt like at times where, like, this is just a celebration of Crosby, Malkin, and the Penguins, and the Sabres are just kind of here.
Are the Sabres going to get tabbed for Ovechkin's chance at history early in the season on TV?
Next year?
Listen, we're on milestone watch.
I mean, it could happen. They play like the fifth final game against Washington, so it could even happen at the end of this year.
He doesn't have a real chance this year, does he?
He needs 41.
He needs 41.
Yeah, he could do that. He did it, I think, 2 years ago.
How many does he have so far?
I looked the other day. I looked last night. I think he has only played like two games.
Okay. Ovechkin, that is.
Three assists, no goals. Okay, so.
All right. Well, hey, hi. We'll talk about Amari Cooper. We'll talk about the Bills and Titans. I mean, you know, what do you say about last night's Sabres game? They played pretty well early.
Mm-hmm.
At the first intermission, you're probably thinking, I'll say what I thought. When the Paterka goal went in, I thought, that's going to be the difference, is they're not going to give away leads. They're going to do the best thing possible, which is, oh, 2-0 to 2-1. How about 3-1? Boom. Mm-hmm. Game over. The game was over until Dylan Cousins gave up the puck on the wall on the power play. The game was over. I mean, it's 3-1. You're on a 4-on-3 power play, mid-second, late second. The game was just going to die a slow, pointless, lame final 30 minutes until Cousins turned that over.
You know, ideally, you would make it 4-1
right.
On a 4-on-3 power play, which is a lot better than a 5-on-4 power
play. Yes, right. The game was primed to be killed off. And
we also, if you were watching on TV, thought Paterka scored again at one point because the play-by-play announcer thought he scored.
Yep.
So the score bug did read 4-1 for a second. No single event, though, cost them that game more than that one Cousins play.
That's right. That's right. I mean, you want to say...
He is lost at sea.
You want to say momentum. I wouldn't even say momentum so much as I'd say it made the game a game. It kind of wasn't one. The Penguins had one goal in the first period, and the Sabres immediately responded, and the Cousins play brings them back in it, which is disappointing. I'll say this about the Sabres. I was thinking this during the game. So a couple things happened. They blow the lead to go down 4-3.
Mm-hmm.
They come back 5-4.
That's stunningly, right?
That's different.
Yeah.
That's different. And ultimately, they get a point. Why? Because they take a penalty in overtime. I mean, and these penalties, everything around penalties with the Sabres is 89% of their problem. They take too many penalties. Mm. They take dumb penalties. They cannot score when the other team takes a penalty.
Mm.
In fact, they give up goals everything is about what happens in penalties. And if you think about the final 90 seconds of two games, they are that far away from us feeling pretty good. If they had gotten the Kings game to overtime, we'd feel better. There's a point. And if they'd closed out last night, there's a point. And they're fine. And I'll tell you, like, the optimistic thought, you tell me if this is crazy or not. Every year we get into this spot with the Sabres, and every year it's, I mean, look at the standings. What are they going to do? They're going to go on a run? I actually think this is, you can tell me I'm crazy. I think the way that they play, they will have a stretch this year where they win like 7 or 8 out of 10. I think they will have that. Last year, what? They hadn't won 3 in a row all year?
I think 3 in a row. They did 3 in a row once, and they never did 4 in a row.
Right.
I think that's, yeah.
At one point, there was a 2 in a row watch for months. There was a 2 in a row watch.
Uh-huh.
I know it's not going to be crafty to say it today when they blow a lead and they're 1-3-1. But I think they do have the parts. Paterka back. The goalies are usually good. I might want to go with Devin Levi a little bit more. I might like lean into that a little bit more. But I don't know if it's optimism. That's not the right word. I don't know if they're going to make the playoffs. I just don't think they will live the floundering life that they've lived for a couple seasons, or at least a season last season under Granato. They've started this season looking the same floundering kind of life, but do you want some numbers? Do you want to trust any of the fancy numbers? Do you care?
I feel like I'm almost exhausted by them.
Okay.
Because there have been other times
in recent years
where they've been
How many times at 5-on-5 have they been 10th in expected goals?
Maybe that high.
10th in expected goals percentage. At actual even strength. Scoring chance, 4 at 5-on-5. Where are they? 5th.
Mm-hmm.
High danger chances, 4 at 5-on-5. Where are they? 6th.
Yep.
This is a team that is, I think, showing signs of life, and they are getting fatally flawed and killed by bad plays. Whether it's a Samuelson penalty or a Samuelson giveaway, or it's the Cousins play. It's, you know,
that's the thing. What if they're just kind of a dumb team?
That could
be a fatal flaw.
But don't you think that's the whole point of the coach being here? Is that this coach is supposed to, and it's been 5 games, but this coach is supposed to help them figure that out. Granato's job was develop them, and Lindy's job is to hone them into a better unit that can get through things, blah, blah, blah. I don't need to use all the words. Just, to me, you couldn't ask for much better at 5-on-5, and everything else kills them.
Well, even that, though, like, they could be that good at 5-on-5 all year, and if they're the worst power play in the NHL...
We've seen that movie before. They'll miss the playoffs.
They'll miss the playoffs.
Yep, that's right. That's what they were last year.
They are 0-15 so far to start this season.
And
they have a shorthanded goal. They've scored...
That's right.
They've allowed more goals when they're on the power play, and they have scored more goals when they are down a man.
Yeah. I know that this year's power play, the goal is, like, we're not just going to be a team that lets Thompson rip it from the dot. I would say, why not? It did work for a long time. Can it still be in the mix? Can it be part of it?
I just think they're easy to defend in that
way. They're
easy
to defend if that's the only thing you do.
Yeah.
But if that is part of it, then I think you're fine. It was super effective for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. At one point, they had Olofsson on the other side.
I think
that worked for a while. They have nobody on the other side.
It's the same mindset as actually what the Bills just did with Amari Cooper.
Yes.
Cooper comes in, and he should drag attention away from Kincaid and Shakir in the middle of the field. What I need is somebody on the other side of Tage Thompson, the power play, to drag
away
the penalty kill a little bit over.
Yep.
But Zucker is the guy that they've been trying out at that.
Isn't that your top six forward you wanted to sign in the offseason that you didn't get done? I mean, I don't know if it's exactly a power play.
They probably have wanted that to be Patrick Kane.
Maybe.
If we're being real.
Yeah.
For over a year. They've probably wanted a guy like that to be that answer. Patrick Laine was available. That wasn't my favorite idea. But, yeah, the guy they could have added in the offseason. But really, shouldn't that guy be Paterka?
Probably.
What? Like, he's not even... He got two games on the top unit at the start. Granato really never put him on the top power play unit. So that one's always been a little bit of a head-scratcher. Maybe he's just not good at it. But I don't know. He's a lefty shot, so he would be on his one-timer. Or actually, am I wrong on that? He would not be on his one-timer, I think, actually. But whatever. He would be on the other side. He's your second best shot. You're just never going to have an extended look at what he looks like opposite Tage. But, I mean, I don't know. The 5-on-5 numbers are good, but I need them to be able to finish these chances, too. And I don't know how many players on this roster are good finishing goal scorers. I think you might have two?
Thompson, Paterka.
Tuck?
Supposed to be Quinn, and he's not it right now.
No, Quinn, I mean, Quinn's almost hiding under Cousins for how bad that's looking right now.
Yep.
You have two sixths of your top six are just giving you nothing. Absolutely nothing.
So,
and another fatal flaw that would cost them the playoffs. Those two cannot play like this at all for even weeks at a time if they want to be a playoff team this year.
Here's what I would ask regarding, again, the correct answer is neither.
Mm.
But what would you rather have? A power play that's fifth in the league and being worthless at 5-on-5? Or 5-on-5 being fifth in the league and power play being worthless? Like, the better plan is to be 5-on-5. Power play is how many minutes a game? Six?
Mm-hmm.
Eight? I mean, we lived a life where Ralph Kruger thought that the power play drove 5-on-5, the thing he said on the radio once, that's the engine of our 5-on-5, which is, I mean...
Did he really say that?
He really said that.
That's
amazing. We get momentum from our power play.
I could see it being important, but I... Even like critical, but driving—I don't even know how you would say it would drive 5-on-5.
Definitely, there's no case to be made that it would ever do that. So, I don't know. I don't know the answer.
There are like some good, like they have a good third line right now, and I wasn't sure of that.
Like, McLeod looks like a great acquisition.
McLeod looks very.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good.
It's tough not...
Greenway, listen, to me, looks like a completely different player than the end of last year. He looks amazing.
Is it any coincidence that those are two of the newest additions? Like, I was thinking about that last night. I mean, here's Lafferty and Beck Malenstein, and I don't know, whatever.
Zucker's on the third
Zucker,
line.
Like, you've got some new guys. But with McLeod, like, here's... You went and acquired a piece with a specific mold in mind, and you paid a big price, and you got it. You needed, like, three of those moves. Specific, we need this, we'll pay that, and McLeod looks like a really nice player. And, you know, like, it's just to say everyone's frustration on the Sabres is so expired, if I could say that. Like,
yeah,
it's you open the milk in the fridge that expired 5 years ago and take another whiff of it. You're like, wow, it's still bad. Like, that's kind of what it feels like every time you're talking about them.
I think everyone's just emotionally exhausted.
Right, and I guess what I'm trying to say is, last night was a Pittsburgh game. I've seen it 30,000 times. It's super annoying. Mm-hmm. I hate their goal horn. It makes me want to fight. And at the end of the day, I have to be careful. I came into this three-game trip, said to you, minimum four, five is good, six is great. 4 and 5 are still there, and win tonight. Win tonight, then beat Chicago, and it's five. 5 out of 6. So in the midst of I want you to get this in the next three games, it's a little bit like the Bills just went on a three-game road trip, and we said the most important game is the Jets game. They won the most important game. The other two, okay, we've got problems here, and the Bills, of course, deserve benefit of the doubt, whereas the Sabres really have to earn that from everybody. So I don't want to make every single loss from them doom and gloom. They lost a pair of games in Prague that were terrible. They lost a game against the Kings. They should have won. And last night, It's Pittsburgh. It's what happens. It's annoying.
The one thing that does come out of that, like, into that. Columbus tonight. Columbus, by the way, who I believe will have a backup goaltender. Okay. Because Merzlikins is taken a few days away from the team. I don't know what that is. That could even be like Goudreau emotions. I don't know. Like, because that's kind of how they sounded about it. So they'll get a backup goalie tonight against a bad team, and then Chicago, who's also a bad team. Short term, I can get into, like, all right, you win these two against bad teams, and, like, all right, some optimism. The one thing that is bigger picture to me last night that is definitely doom and gloom is their second-line center has looked like trash for 12 months. And can I saw this again on Twitter last night. Is it really possible that a fight at the beginning of last season broke Dylan Cousins forever? Because he's under contract for 7 more years. That's $7.1 million, and he looks like he can't play hockey right
now. He looks like an absolute shadow of himself.
He looks like he can't play center anymore also. Like, whenever he's in the middle of the... Last night, actually, the worst play he made was on the wall, I know. But very often, when he's in the middle of the ice and he's got to make a decision with where to go with the puck, he looks like he has tunnel vision, and he's no idea where to go with it. He looks lost all the time, and he's not scoring on his opportunities. And that's got to turn around. Because that's a huge investment they made for a long time. He was a high pick, I mean, a few years ago, and they traded Casey Mittelstadt. So there's no longer a plan B if he can't be your second-line center.
Right. You went all in on the two guys you had.
So and that, there was... like that right now is job one. But, well, I guess job one is the overall team and, you know, playing smarter from Lindy. But Granato used to have these pet projects, right? Like, each player turning them around. It was Dahlin originally, Tage. Like, Lindy, if there's one guy he's got to turn around, like, it absolutely has to be Cousins. Because he is killing them right now. Absolutely killing them. Maybe that's what's dragging Quinn down, too. I don't know what's going on with him. But his centerman is just, I don't even know what to say about him. There's no good place. Not even defensively, which is another thing he was supposed to be good at.
Right. Tage looks okay.
Yeah, Tage looks good. 3 goals in the season.
Yep.
It's like a 40-goal pace.
803-0550, our phone number. From Cousins, like, if you think back to when was the game against the Bruins? Was that New Year's Day?
Strips, 2 years ago.
He strips Bergeron, and you're just like, yes. Oh, here is...
It was like new Bergeron sending out old Bergeron.
Here is the workhorse from Whitehorse. This is the guy. And yeah, he just doesn't have it right now. It's tough.
But it has been like 90 games of this. It's been a long time since he's been playing well.
Go to the phones. Paul in Buffalo. What do you think, Paul? Are we barking up the right trees here?
Boys, you just went right to where I was going. In the last 87 games, I would say in fully 70 of them, that's 7-0. He hasn't been good or bad. He's been awful. In the other 17 games, when Austin Matthews is in the other faceoff dot, in the couple games when Connor McDavid's in the faceoff dot, when he puts on a Team Canada jersey, he is the workhorse from Whitehorse. But in 70 of those games, he's his new nickname, Vaclav Virata. Because he cannot score on an empty soccer net, just like Vaclav Virata. He makes stupid giveaways, just like Vaclav Virata. He's fake tough, just like Vaclav Virata. Now, he makes a paycheck, Virata never made. But this guy cannot be our second-line center anymore. I'm sorry. He lost us that game last night. I mean, there's some things you got to deal with. When Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin are on a mission, you know, they can make Owen Power look silly in his own end because Owen Power still is. He's young. He doesn't have his defensive knowledge yet that he's going to have in a couple years. But Cousins lost us that game. That line was awful. And that line's awful because of Cousins. I would right now, and you guys know I have been hard on Krebs. Krebs is my second line center. He needs to be in the press box for 2 or 3 nights.
I mean, that's the thing, right? Like, I'm ready to move Cousins from center. He mentioned Team Canada. Paul from Buffalo, Paul Hamilton, has mentioned repeatedly for a couple years now that whenever he goes to play in the World Championships, he plays amazing, and it's the World Championships, take it with a grain of salt, but he plays on the wing. Like, he does show up to Team Canada, he plays on the wing, and I tweeted this out last night, like, I'm very much thinking now that he's not a center. I don't know. He just... Try it on the wing, but... Again, where I end up then is what Paul in Buffalo just mentioned, which is, what am I doing at second line center? It's going to be Krebs now. It's going to... I like McLeod, but they're going to trust a guy whose career high in goals is 12 to be a top six centerman. I think, I'm not kidding when I say this, I think Zach Benson could really be their second line center for the future. He has so many natural tendencies that scream center, but he is 170 pounds, and skating-wise, it's still not there for him. So, intelligence-wise, I think Benson is going to be their center someday in that spot, but I don't think he's ready for it right now. So what do you do? You just keep hammering him in there and hope that you get a different result? Or do you try one of your bottom six centers up to, you're not in a good spot. And I wanted them to trade Mittelstadt for Byram when they did it. I loved that trade when it happened. I thought that made sense. We had talked about that as a concept, trading him for a top four defenseman for months before it happened. And I, right now, if I could hit a giant redo button, I would do it in a heartbeat. And it has nothing to do with Byram at all. Byram's fine. Byram's good. It's because I think they need a second-line center. And I'm wishing they had Casey Mittelstadt still on the roster. Who, by the way, is the second-line center in one of the best teams in hockey right now in Colorado.
Well, careful. They're 0-4.
Are they?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. See, I didn't know that.
Colorado started 0-4.
I still would want to call them one of the best teams in hockey. They'll be fine.
They'll be fine.
Yeah.
Hey, the Sabres are ahead of Colorado.
All right. There you go.
3 points up on Colorado. 803-0550. Sabres frustrations, you know, the airing of grievances. It's a rite of passage in mid-October to be in this spot.
And they've had some good starts in the drought.
They have, like two, three, maybe at least. Yeah,
they had like a 5-1 start under Kruger, maybe. I don't remember.
Malkin from
it's
his
all mixed
from
together.
His butt, Malkin.
Yeah, that would have been hilarious if Lindy could have challenged that for some reason.
Oh, speaking of which.
After they all come out and celebrate, and then they're like, you know, I think that might have been offside, guys.
How about the play that was offside? They challenged it. I guess it was offside. Listen.
It was so tight. It was so tight, but I did see a freeze frame where, to me, I would have said that's offside, but I don't know.
Sure, sure. I can't bring my brain doesn't have the power to watch an offside challenge on a grainy iPad and say, clearly that shows it. If you can't tell from the first row of the 300 level, it's not offside. That's my rule. That is my rule. And I want to watch it on. You hold an iPad at center ice, and I watch that iPad from the 300 level. If I can see offside, that's offside. Otherwise, forget it. What I mean, every time it happens, even though that was for the Sabres and could have benefited the Sabres. Hey, here's a great moment in a hockey game. Look at this, an exciting sporting event. Mm-hmm. Wait a minute. Hold on. Was he a millimeter offside? My God. Let's have the officials watch an iPad.
That's the other thing, too.
It's like, just incredible.
Even if we could get past the stupidity of the concept in the first place, get to how they review it. Yeah.
Incredible.
An iPad. There's no replay center that's like ready to go. Like, you know, billion-dollar organization can't have three people employed every night to look at offsides.
They can talk with Toronto, right? But then, like, who makes the call?
But I only think they talk with Toronto on, like goal stuff. Well, I guess that is a goal, but maybe I'm wrong about that. I don't know what their process is. We need an eye in the sky.
Back to it tonight for Columbus. Hey, the Bills introduced Amari Cooper and starting to see a little bit more breakdown of some of the stuff he does. I saw a really cool video. Emmanuel Acho, LeSean McCoy, that show, Chase Daniel, what's that called? The
facility.
Thank you. I was going to say the fit. The facility. They had a good couple clips on Cooper and what makes him different from other wide receivers in the league and someone that the Bills definitely don't have. So we'll get to that. Excited to see his debut. The Bills are slow playing it and managing expectations when it comes to how quickly he could be a part of their offense. Then again, Davante Adams is going to play for the Jets against the Steelers, so I wonder what's different, or if anything's different. 803-0550. It's a Thursday. Chilly out there. I had to get ice off my windshield, Joe. Frost.
Mm-hmm. I'm thought to do this. I started the car early.
It was that cold.
Just to get the defrosters going.
But it's going to be nice the next couple days. We're getting back up into the 60s. So, you know, take heart. Still have plenty of golf weather. 70 next Tuesday. Come on.
I'm golfing today.
I am too.
It's going to be 52.
We're warming up. We got 2 weeks of warmth.
I did bring an extra layer, though, so I might have to layer up. Which, you ever just swing with layers on?
Yeah, layered golf is great.
It's fine. Just got to make sure it's loose clothing. You
know, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. 803-0550 to join us, Broncos and Saints, on Thursday Night Football this evening as well. We'll chat with Sal. We'll chat with Nathan Zagura, the radio analyst in Cleveland, about Amari Cooper. All coming up here on WGR.
tonight with a chance to...
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.